Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and Lord Jesus the Christ on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost in the year of our Lord 2026 and of the independence of the United States, 250th. There can never be a more effective preacher and teacher than Jesus of Nazareth. Yet the result of his preaching and teaching in the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum was not the repentance he desired. Up to chapter 11 of St. Matthew's Gospel, the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum got to see most of the mighty works of God done by Jesus. They saw Jesus give sight to the blind, make the lame get up and walk, heal lepers plagued by persistently rotting flesh, give hearing to the deaf, and most impressively, raise the dead. But what most offended the self-righteous was when they saw and heard Jesus preach good news to the poor, those who suffered in poverty for whatever reason. Got to hear about the hope they have in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told the poor in spirit that the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Somehow, the mighty works of God did not convince the self-righteous to repent. So after judging the entire populations of the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum for failing to repent of their sins, after they got to see and hear the mighty works of God done by Jesus, Jesus declared to his Father in the presence of the entire crowd who was following him, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." The demons who Jesus had cast into the pigs claimed to know Jesus is the Son of God. St. James declared that even demons believed and trembled that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is one. But the kind of knowledge the demons have of the Father and the Son is not the same kind of knowledge of which Jesus speaks in chapter 11 of St. Matthew's Gospel. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The knowledge the demons have and the knowledge the people of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum had does not lead them to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father in such a way that they know and agree with each other in all things. Persons of the Trinity hold the same knowledge and desires. They are unified in thought, desire, and will. The only way we know and affirm the one true and almighty God, and the only way we know he cares about us and truly loves us with an everlasting love, is because the eternal Son of God has willingly chosen to become the prophesied Son of Man. The Son of God did not choose to become a mountain or a tree, an animal, or a fish. The Son of God did not choose to become an angelic being, though as the angel of the Lord, he sometimes acts as his own divine messenger. The eternal Son of God has willingly become the prophesied Son of Man, and by sending his disciples to teach you all he has commanded, and by sending his disciples to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, has chosen to reveal himself and his Father to you. No one can truly know who God is or that he loves you with a steadfast love unless Jesus of Nazareth reveals him to you. Thanks be to God. Jesus ascended to his Father's right hand and sent the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus and his Father to all nations and to each generation. God the Son has chosen his disciples, and God the Son has sent his disciples to make more disciples by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. God the Son has chosen to reveal his Father to you. Jesus, the Son of God and of Blessed Mary, chooses new disciples by first choosing, teaching, and sending his first disciples to baptize and teach all nations. The only way to know God the Father is for God the Son to reveal him to you. The Son chooses to whom he reveals his Father. So how do you know whether or not the eternal Son of God, who has become the prophesied Son of Man, has chosen you? You know the Son of God has chosen to reveal his Father to you because Jesus has sent his disciples to baptize and teach you all he has commanded. Jesus has sent his disciples to tell you to come to Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All means all. All means everyone. Jesus calls everyone to come to him. No matter what your Calvinist friends say, Jesus' death on the cross covers the sin of the entire world for all time. His blood, the blood of the prophesied Son of Man, who is the eternal Son of God, is the once for all sacrifice to end all sacrifices for all sins. His resurrection after his death and then his ascension prove Jesus is who he says he is. The only sacrifices he leaves us to continue to give are the sacrifices of thanksgiving, praise, and prayer, which are the fruit of his once-for-all sacrifice. No matter what your Baptist friends say, sinners do not choose to become Christians. Sinners sin. That's all sinners can do. Just as bad trees produce bad fruit, so also sinners produce nothing but sin. Sinners never produce anything other than sin. If God says, "Do this," sinners do the opposite. If God says, "Do this for your neighbor," then if sinners do it, they do it for themselves. If God says this, if God says, "Say this," sinners say, "Nah, I'm good." If God says, "Believe this," sinners always choose to believe something different. When sinners hear the word of God, it literally takes an act of God to make us do anything other than sin, disagree with, and oppose God. Jesus rising from the dead as he said he would is the most important evidence that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who has become the prophesied Son of Man. Everything he did was good. Everything he does is good. Everything he said is true. But Jesus rising from the dead is not enough to make sinners believe in Jesus. To make sinners believe in Jesus, Jesus must reveal himself and his Father to you. So God continues to act through his Word and Spirit to change hard-hearted sinners into receptive and repentant sinners who believe, trust in, and know Jesus. The act of God that converts sinners into repentant believers works through God's Word and Spirit. Jesus calls all who labor and are heavy laden with eternal dread to come to him. Jesus sends his disciples to keep calling all who labor and are heavy laden with guilt and shame. And in each call to come to the Jesus who is the eternal Son of God, who has become the prophesied Son of Man, God the Holy Spirit acts to create the faith that willingly trades yokes with Jesus. Jesus' yoke is easy and light. His yoke gives you hope to endure whatever this dying world throws at you. That happy exchange of yokes generates a love for God and a hunger for his word, that trusts his promise to forgive your sin, and that knows the bloody work of the Son of God on the cross of Jesus the Christ has completely covered the entire debt owed by your sin. Jesus did mighty works of God in the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. He preached perfect sermons about the kingdom of heaven being among them. But the population of these cities refused to repent. So do not imagine that you can or should expect to do any better than Jesus. Do the good work. Love your enemies. Serve and protect your brothers, sisters, and neighbors. Call them to Jesus and call them to repent of their sins. But no matter what mighty works you do for them, do not be too surprised or disappointed when they turn around and smack you down. Who has Jesus chosen? And who will he choose? Jesus calls to himself all who labor and are heavy laden. If your labor is or ever has been toilsome, if your burdens are or ever have been too heavy, and if you are or ever have been at your wit's end, then you are someone to whom God the Son has chosen to reveal his Father. Woe to the trust fund babies and welfare queens who have never labored or been overwhelmed with duty or responsibility. Woe to the children who have not yet suffered the consequences of their sin or the sins of others in this world. Woe to the star athletes, politically powerful or socially popular, to whom the rules just don't seem to apply. Jesus is not talking to you here unless you begin to see and regret your sin. What Jesus says in chapter 11 is just for the overwhelmed and underappreciated who continue to wait for Christ's eternal glory and theirs to be revealed upon Christ's return by giving their burdens to Jesus of Nazareth and by taking up his light and easy yoke. Our burdens are heavy because our burdens are the result of our sin and the sins of others. We all suffer the consequences of Adam's sin. Everyone dies, even little newborn babies, even unborn babies. And that's all on Adam. We continue to suffer the consequences and humiliation of our ancestors' sins. In this once proud Christian land, the foreign wars of the 20th century have led to the loss of our best fathers, sons, and brothers, which led to the weakening of households, which led to the weakening of marriage protections, which led to the failure of elected officials to correct the evil judicial decision that let mothers and medical professionals murder unborn generations, which led to government-forced sterilization projects, which led to so-called birth control and contraception, which led to a growing population suffering and inability to procreate, which led to a growing industry of alternative methods of procreation that do not include a loving father and mother, nor lead to the adoption of the orphaned or of the unchosen frozen. The plague of have it your way, follow your passions, and do not let anything get in the way of your dreams and desires has metastasized and spread beyond our own country and infected much of the world, to the point that the birth rate for countries like South Korea, for which many of our grandfathers suffered and died, is the lowest in the world. Far below the rate needed to replace their aging and dying population. It's to the point that much of their popular media and politicians promoted by well-funded evil interests continue to encourage us to call what is evil good and to call what is good evil when it comes to unhappy men wanting to be treated like women and unhappy women wanting to be treated like men. In the words of the SNL writers for Bob Newhart, Stop it. Stop playing along. Stop using their preferred pronouns. Stop pretending like there's nothing wrong with men acting like women or children, or with treating women like men, no matter how they act. In this world cursed by mankind's sin, good men, if they can't feed and protect their families at home, often have to sacrifice time in the home with their families. They have to step beyond their households and help their neighbors, who can help husbands and fathers feed and protect their families. And when absolutely necessary, good men go to war to limit the effects of evil, and good women support them. Wives and mothers, daughters and sisters support their men, care for and nurture the next generations, and when necessary, defend the home when the man of the house has to work somewhere other than in the household. On the other hand, a father who harms his neighbor and goes to jail increases the suffering his children and their mother must endure in the world. A father who fails to discipline his children fails to educate them how to be good neighbors. He spoils their expectations of themselves and of others. He hinders their interactions with others as they live and move themselves down the paths and around the obstacles of this sin-cursed world. These burdens are more than we can ever bear. So the Son of God bids you to give your yoke of burdensome sin and humiliation to Jesus, so he can give you the yoke of his glorious victory over all sin, guilt, and shame. Ultimately, the making of disciples depends on God, not on what you do or do not do, not on what you say or do not say. God makes disciples by sending his church to baptize and teach all nations. As members of his church, our Father who art in heaven sends you to serve your brothers and sisters and neighbors. And when they ask, to explain the reason for the hope you have in Christ crucified. After John baptized Jesus to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus traveled to several cities proclaiming the kingdom of heaven and performing mighty works of God among them. At least up until Matthew chapter 11, most of Jesus' mighty works had been performed in the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. But the result of Jesus' preaching, teaching, and mighty working is not what anyone expected. Even Jesus is more than a little bit disappointed. How can it be that Jesus of Nazareth, the eternal Son of God who has become the prophesied Son of Man, worked as hard as he did and not get the results he wanted, not achieve his goals for himself and his disciples, and not attain the impact he'd hoped for? Jesus wants every sinner to come to him and repent of her sins. He invites every sinner to enjoy the kingdom of heaven with him, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus proclaims the kingdom of heaven. He performs mighty works of God, but still, sinners do what sinners do. Sinners do not want to depend on anyone other than themselves for their sense of right and wrong. Sinners want to decide for themselves what's right for them. The arrogance of sin even tries to put God on trial and declare God guilty. Guilty of being too cruel, being too thoughtless, guilty of not being merciful enough, guilty of being less than all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-good. Calvinists even declare Jesus guilty of not being present, where Jesus says his body and blood are present in the bread and wine of his Holy Supper. The eternal Son of God, who has willingly become the prophesied Son of Man, has promised to give you rest. Jesus has power over sin, death, and the law. Jesus possesses the righteousness that avails before God. Jesus possesses eternal life and salvation, since it belongs to God alone to provide these things, which liberate and comfort those who labor and are heavy laden. He calls you to come. Exchange your burdens with him through confession and absolution, and then take and eat his body, and then take and drink his blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the blessing of the votive. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.